put paste and
delay creates.
If you're a serious and committed endurance athlete like me, you've got your A race, your B race, and even C races planned throughout the year. I just did a half marathon distance event that would sit between a hard long run and time trial. It's got a few names. Some would even call it a virtual race. I call it a do-it-yourself C race. But how do you optimize a C race in your training and everyday life? Find that out and more on this episode of D-Lake Creates.
Don't master a lot, don't master a little, just stay in the middle. Don't master all, don't master none, just be a master of some.
What is up? I'm Darren, your host of D-Lake Creates, running for Masters of Some.
The internet's most exciting endurance sports podcast.
Through self-improvement, we help serious endurance athletes master some of their health, some of their fitness, and even some of their life, because it's all the same. And in being your host, you can trust me because I'm a lifelong endurance athlete that's ran a sub-3-hour marathon, completed an Ironman triathlon in 10 hours, and currently trying to break 16 minutes in the 5K. So I'd say I know a thing or two about most of the things that we talk about. Quick warning, we use some adult language and cuss a bit. Be mindful who's around when you listen. In this episode, my every now and again co-host, Phil Cross, and I go a bit fringe and niche. We discuss something that I haven't heard discussed enough, the C race. As mentioned at the top of the episode, this is the race that when zoomed in, kind of doesn't matter. You aren't looking to get your best time here, but when zoomed out, it's one very important piece in the jigsaw puzzle of training and life. You are using the C race as a tool or test to do well in your B and ultimately A races. They are all connected. For a real-world example, let's take my half marathon distance, virtual DIY race, or whatever you want to call it, that I just did. I wanted to test my fitness, get a decent half marathon time under my belt for the year to keep my annual half marathon streak going, and also gain fitness to run my best in an upcoming 5K time trial for the year. Very ambitious, but also very doable. The half marathon strategy of racing it like a C race was perfect because I wanted to maximize my aerobic gains, not burn myself out, staying aerobic helps, and then slide into sub-threshold pacing to help get my lactic acid system ready for the demands of the upcoming 5K race. Lots of moving parts, and again, lots of ambition here. But this race wasn't the end-all, be-all. It was part of a bigger picture. Again, it seems like the C race is the answer for a lot of things, and not only training, racing, but also career and life. A few things you will learn from this episode. Phil discusses the article he wrote on this whole topic, the C race, how to not treat every race and training session as a smashing war fest, Phil's mindset on C races and how it'll help you race and live better, the beauty of thinking like a scientist and embracing failure, fixed mindset versus growth mindset, and much more. Enough of me, let's get into the conversation with Phil. So this is a
blogisode.
So yeah, we are doing something new. This might be the second or third iteration of it, or 10th, I don't know.
Yeah.
Where we talk about blog posts or articles, however you want to say it, that usually I wrote, but this time we have Phil, because Phil writes. He's a phenomenal blogger over at
PhilCross.net.
So yeah, so this one is about your C race. It's actually titled, not your C race, it's actually titled...
C races.
Oh,
C races, yeah.
Very minimal, very you. And I'm going to say the first line, and then you could talk about the rest.
Okay.
So, all right, there's a... You could go to the actual post, which will be in the show notes. Make sure you check that out. And there's a cool... illustration of a trophy that says number one. That's so cute.
That's meant to be a horse.
What? I'm gullible. Don't do that. All right. There's a trophy illustration that he drew himself because he is very gifted and talented. And don't say anything. And this is the start of it. We run many races in our lives, from short sprints to lengthy wars of attrition. I'm going to keep going because it sounds so good. Some are A races, central to our mission, the big goals we've set our sights on, that we have given meaning to and are working diligently towards. Others are B and C races, done for practice, testing, or just the fun of it. It's knowing the difference and racing accordingly that's key.
So yeah, I've read like half the post because it's really short, but
And you nailed the voice in my head when I read my own stuff back to myself. It's that like dramatic, like movie voice. It's
pretty
really good.
Good.
It's really good. It's how I write. It's how I read to myself.
So where did this come from? And what were you talking about?
It's partial. I mean, it's definitely true for actual physical races, and you know, the intention was it's a metaphor for other things in life as well, as per the master of some.
That's what we are. We're a metaphor.
I know
about fitness served up as a meta metaphor for life.
Yeah,
it's meta metaphoric.
So this was a I think I wrote this when the day before I did the Jabalani challenge in preparation for the UTA 100. So Jabalani challenge was like a 44 or 47 kilometer trail run or what have you, and like any kind of type A alpha-y person, I have a tendency whenever I toe the start line of a race, even if I'm meant to be taking it easy, I have a tendency to slip into racing it too hard mode because I'm 12. it was a reminder that sometimes it's good to treat the B and the C races as the B and the C races. You've got a big target that you're setting your sights on. So in this instance, it was the UTA 100. If we're using this as a thing, it could be that you're working on a project. You know, you're working on a you're putting together a TED talk, or you're putting together a piece of music or a movie or whatever it might be. And then the little thing along the way, the little thing that's meant to help you on your way to your main mission, it's running too hard at that and causing yourself physical and psychological burnout, stressing about the thing that should be either a fun diversion from your main goal, or it should be contributing towards you getting there by making you stronger and letting you practice skills or practice technique or get fitter. And yeah, it's just a cautionary tale to not get swept up in the competition of things, and just to chill out and treat the training, the testing, and the fun races for exactly what you intended them to be, and not the go all out smash fests that they can turn into if you let your ego get in the way.
Cool. I really, really like this one, and I really like that. And you kind of said, what did you say? There is inherent value in treating the B and C races for what they are. Testing and having permission to fail is important. That's huge, because I've actually really... There was a James Clear. Go check him out, jamesclear.com. He's the kind of habits guru that I quote a lot in a lot of my stuff. But he talked about how if you treat failure like a scientist, you basically are just trying... You're trying to fail almost in a lot of things, because then you get data points.
Yep.
And those data points, the more data points you have, the closer or further away you get from your hypothesis. To proving or disproving hypothesis, which is fucking awesome. Like, who's the guy that was flying the kite in the lightning? He discovered electricity. Yeah.
Franklin?
Yes, there we go. Everyone's like, oh, he failed 10,000 times before he got that. You know, he figured out 10,000 ways how not to get electricity.
Yeah.
You know, like, and it was like, that's actually extremely valuable, because, again, you could actually tell someone, even if you don't get it, someone comes to you, you're super experienced, because you did the thing wrong, and you could go, all right, even though I haven't done it, I've done it wrong. Don't do that.
You know?
Like, and then you become valuable to them, because hopefully they don't spend time, money, all those resources doing it the wrong way because you've done it. So that's huge value, where you don't actually have to go all the way and succeed. Usually you end up figuring it out through persistence. Most things you'll figure out, but some things you just got to say, I failed a bunch.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And you end up measuring, you end up optimizing for the wrong kind of thing. So say I wanted to test my nutrition at that race. It's like, I just want to go. I'm testing nutrition for a 100K race. This is a 47, 44, whatever it was, K race. So I'm not going to be running as, I could run it faster, but I'm going to run it slow. I'm going to run it at 100K kind of race pace and use it to test my nutrition. And there's a ton of value in there. Whereas I would have gone into that race, tried to race it hard, not really accomplished that either, because I wasn't going in like super tapered and like fit and ready to roll, and failed to test my nutrition properly. And then what would I have had? Like a mediocre A race, like as opposed to like a real solid testing race. So again, it loses its value that you intended for it, and it doesn't even achieve the thing that you wanted it to. And then if you've got a fixed mindset as opposed to a growth mindset, like listen to or read the work of Carol Dweck on growth mindsets, like fascinating work and definitely something everyone should hold in mind, no pun intended. And people with a fixed mindset, typically the sort of people who don't enjoy losing because they don't see feedback, failure as feedback, can get really despondent and discouraged if they try and race these things and not, you know, achieve the standards they're used to. So yeah, lots of reasons to kind of, you know, keep some delineation in your head when you're looking at these races.
So yeah, there you have it. Go check out philcross.net. I'm actually probably going to do a repost on my site just because I love content that falls in alignment with my stuff, and give it some backlinks and, you know, give it credit where it's due. So I'll hijack it, but it will be wrapped with a Phil Cross brand all over it. Future Darren or past Darren, take us away with the outro. Peace.
Let's go. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Darren So,
aka D-Lake.
Tips and tactics, you could train like a pro. This cast to help you run faster than you could go. All the PRs you could beat, of course, records that comes in your upcoming season.
Right. Don't you agree?
Endurance sports, a metaphor for life.
That's that metaphor, baby.
Eating clean so you can rest and sleep all night.
Don't master a lot,
don't master a little, just stay in the middle. Don't master all, don't master none.
Just be
a master of some.
Is the health and fitness internet too much sometimes? Too many conflicting articles and videos that confuse you on how to train and eat right? Or you don't have time to just read and watch everything about, I don't know, the new trends on carb cycling for trail running. Don't worry, we'll take care of all that for you. Sign up for our free email newsletter, 3 Thing Thursday. We'll put 3 perfectly curated and created things in your inbox for better living and training.
Go to dlakecreates.com/TTT.
We do the hard, time-consuming work and scour the health and fitness internet's deepest and darkest corners. This is so that every Thursday, you have a piping hot new email with the latest and coolest tips, tricks, tools, tactics, and skills. All so that you can train and live consistently to do dope shit in your next endurance event. If you sign up now, you can receive my quick guide on how to get healthy, stay fit, and use data to create habits that last a lifetime.
That's dlakecreates.com/TTT to be inspired and motivated on the regular.
Time. Time is a resource no one can make more of, so we appreciate you taking precious time out of your day to listen this far. Our goal is to show the world how to live better through running, cycling, and triathlon. The episode and many others have a transcription. Go to the show notes description to find out more. This was produced in Sydney, Australia, and I'd like to acknowledge the Gadigal of the Eora Nation, who are the traditional custodians of this land. I pay my respects to the elders, past, present, and future. I recognize their continuing connection to the land, waters, and culture. These lands were stolen and sovereignty was never ceded. If you like this episode, again, we'd highly appreciate it if you go on whatever app you listen to and make sure to follow D-Lake Creates Podcast. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon, Acast, and a bunch of others. And if you're feeling real loose, a rating, review, or share of this episode to anyone you know that would be into something like this would be amazing. The more people that hear about us, the doper stuff we can do to then help other people. And if that virtuous cycle continues forever, we would always be grateful to you. If you have any questions, concerns, suggestions for the episode, or hell, you want to be on the show, hit us up. The best way is to email talk, T-A-L-K, at dlakecreates.com, or you can hit me up on Instagram at dlakecreates, or just wherever you can find us is fine. Don't worry if you didn't get all that. There's a link in the show notes description. Thank you again so much for listening. Peace.